Yes, and Austin's in the three.
Yes.
Okay. Three bedroom.
Okay, good morning, you guys. Hello, Zoom people. And y'all come on in. Hey, Terry Ann, come in. And so we spread out our chairs, and there's one more seat right here. Do you want to sit there and then we'll switch? What do you want to do?
I want to sit right
You're
here.
You're going to sit right here. Okay. So let me, if y'all could, because we have new people this time, and I think we have some new people on Zoom too. Okay, y'all can hear me, right? There we go. We're done with that for a second. Can y'all hear? Thumbs up. All right. And thank you so much. So Zoom, a couple of things. Why don't we pray before we start? Because then it might just like even everything out. So would someone like to pray?
I'll be happy to.
Okay.
Gracious Heavenly Father, how we praise you and thank you for your goodness to us. You are a good, good Father. Lord Jesus, we welcome you here. We thank you for the privilege of opening your word, authored by Holy Spirit, who breathed into the men that wrote these books and inspired scripture that we might know you and see you and have this beautiful revelation of who you are and of your great love for us and your desire to know us and us to know you and be in a love relationship together and real openness. God, thank you for each woman who has signed up to participate in this study this semester. We thank you. Thank you for Dr. Luke and for his offering Acts that we looked at last year and this gospel. And I pray for Kay. We thank you, Father, for her and for opening her home to those of us who are here. We thank you, Jesus, for all those that are on this Zoom call. And I would just pray that whatever cares we bring in this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would just enable our hearts to be still, and to know that you are God. Would you, Holy Spirit, bring your shalom, your peace to each heart here? And would you quiet our minds that we might be open to the inspiration and the teaching of Holy Spirit today? So God, bless each woman with your presence and with your peace, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you, Candy. And we, for anybody that's new, we just kind of tag team. Like, we just go back and forth. This is Come As You Are, as you can tell. I'm really nasty because I got up really early this morning, and so I'm gross and wet from walking even. And so, but next week, it'll be so cool and wonderful. Nobody will get sweaty or wet. So anyway, right? I think they fake you out on the news, like on your little thing. It keeps going. It moves the 90 each day down. Like you look at it like, 80. But it's not really. They're faking us out. So what I'd love to do, what we want to do this morning is just kind of go through and do an introduction. So introducing our new way of doing it even for this season. So we have chairs here for about 25 people, something like that. There may be even 30. So for the people that want to come, just come when you want to come, when you can come. And, I mean, just wear a mask for sure coming in and as you prefer, even sitting here, okay? And you can Zoom anytime. The Zoom is the same link every single week. And we'll record it every week. And we're just sending the audio recording because it was awkward a little bit when we were doing the video recording. Because it's awkward anyway. It's so awkward. And so the audio is great. So you can go along that way. This is the study that we're doing. Is N.T. Wright's For Everyone Bible Study. And this one's Luke. And we've done N.T. Wright for probably the last, I don't know, maybe
4 years at least.
Four years? Have we done it that long? I mean, we've fallen in love with these studies because they really are whatever you want them to be. And so it's sort of like come as you are when you can. These studies allow you to come to scripture in the way that you want to come to scripture. You can come in this book and learn a ton, or you can come the night before and just go through the material. He has this amazing way of bringing very heady ideas down to anybody. Wouldn't y'all say that I've done it?
Gifted.
It's So we just liked it. And another thing that we've always wanted to do at the study is have it be something that you can come and do and fall in love with scripture. Mm-hmm. Like just flat out fall in love with scripture so that anytime, anywhere, any of us can get in it by ourselves. So there doesn't have to be a study, but it's just the gathering together to be able to contemplate scripture together. And so the whole idea was to be able to go into scripture yourself. Because sometimes I think we will kind of use a Bible study as a crutch and not study scripture when we're not in a Bible study. So I personally, like the last few weeks, I've really missed the gathering together, even though we started gathering together on Zoom in March, which was so weird, but it worked somehow. And we didn't stop. We went all the way through until July. And then we took off for 4 weeks or five, and it's been a long 4 or 5 weeks. I was thinking about that as I just folded the laundry last night, and I just was sort of like, what's been up these last month, you know, besides the last month? But I was sort of like, I'm so excited that we're getting together, because there's something about contemplating scripture together that's just, it's just so encouraging, because the Lord's going to teach each of us something different. And so how fun to be able to share that together. So this is a sharing group. And so what we're going to do, and we're doing it with you guys too, because we can hear everybody, we're going to go around, like this is something we do usually at the start. We're going to go around and introduce ourselves, and we're going to say one thing that the Lord has been teaching you during this COVID period. Okay? So, and maybe a little something about you. I'm Kay. We have 5 kids. Most of them are grown. Some of them are not. And especially their parents are not, apparently. And the one thing, like, I feel like I've been learning a lot during this time. But one thing I've really been learning is how safe the Lord is. We studied his names this summer, like our identity attached to his name. And it's that safety that has just been blowing me away, how safe he is, period, just period. So anyway, you want to go, Maggie? And then we're going to go, this could be hard group with y'all, but we're going to let Elizabeth coordinate the Zoom people. Okay, Maggie.
Okay, I'm Maggie. I'm trying to think. A few things come to mind. I think like finding joy in the little things. We just got a puppy, and so a lot of work, but trying to find joy in the midst of just life and when things, you know, look a little bit differently. And the Lord is there, and he sees me through it, all the ups and downs. That's definitely been a constant of this season.
So. That's really good. Okay.
And Lynn, I have 4 kids, and I just feel like God has just been so good and answered my prayers in a way that I never knew that he could. I feel like a lot of people probably feel this way from the whole pandemic. I feel like my life was so crowded, so busy, and today was the first day I dropped off all 4 kids, and I literally just left myself. If I hadn't come to this Bible study, I mean, I don't have a lot of stuff that I have to do. I pray God has cleaned out my life and helped me learn to say no and appreciate the quiet and the still.
Oh, that's really good. Thank you, Miss.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Can y'all hear over here? Can anybody respond?
Zoom people, can you hear? Thumbs up if you can hear.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Do you want to come in? Or do you feel better?
All right. So. I'm Leslie Rose, and I have 3 girls, three different schools. I've got a seventh grader and a third grader, and today was a good day. I think they're ready. But kind of echoing what Lynn said, I feel like the Lord has taught me to really slow down our whole music, kind of just stop there and just to be more still and intentional with my time. Appreciating like the little that I probably took for granted because I was in such a hurry. So yeah, just to slow down and
focus on.
I love that. So joy, goodness, stillness. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Let's go. And let's
hear. Can you and talk?
Can y'all hear me, Zoom people? Please talk. Thank you. I'm Elizabeth Erickson. I have three kids, and third grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, and also just got a puppy, which has been a which it does help you figure out where your time is.
Yeah.
Got to the puppy. But I think the main thing I've learned during COVID is that I always thought I wasn't a morning person. And I got challenged by a friend. This summer I was struggling in June. I had no time myself, my sister staying up later, and I had no time for my husband. And so I just started with the Lord, actually, just started waking me up at like 5:30 or 6 every morning. And I'm like a sleep
yeah,
until
a morning
my
person.
No, I'm a morning person. And so, and it's been, but it's been a huge blessing because I've just been more productive. I've had time with the Lord. I've had coffee. It's just been a blessing in my marriage, blessing on my parenting. And I always was kind of like, oh, I'm just not a morning person. Like, that's just not who I am. And I'm like, God can change that. That's not who I am. So.
Okay. So that's a great thing. Being He can change it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, Cheryl.
Cheryl Todd. My kids are grown. Mm-hmm. I have two grandbabies. Mm-hmm. Really fun season. And I think the Lord has just taught me that He's in control. I feel so calm and thankful that we know Him, and what would we do if we didn't have Him through the time? It will look so different.
Yeah. So in control. Candy.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm Candy Hill, and I have three grown kids and 14 grandkids, and many of them are grown now. So I'm hoping for a great grandbaby. But I have really, again, I mean, it's kind of a theme, I think, but have really, I think, for the first time in my life, learned what He means by be still and know that I am God. And just that Isaiah 30 passage where He says, fullness and rest is your salvation, and quietness and trust is your strength. Mm-hmm. And that's true. And I just think we've all had such busy lives, and so this has just slowed everything down, even though I was alone. I was still
with me. Okay, so stillness again.
Yeah.
And quietness.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to some Zoom people. Susan?
Hi. My name's Susan Rayburn. I've got four kids, a 22-year-old, a child that's in heaven, and twins that are going to be 20 soon. And I feel like the Lord is reminding me in this time that because I'm a planner and I find security in planning, and I know this, but it's just a constant reminder that I can be totally at peace and comfortable in the unknown and in the things that are planned and are not going to go the way that my perception is or my missing the word, what I'm thinking should happen, and that I can just be at peace and see how the Lord's going to work it out and rest in that and trust in that and not try to like make things happen or force something to happen, and just my expectations are not in my hands. My expectations are just to see, okay, Lord, how's this going to work out?
That's good. That's a good word. All right, Alyssa.
Okay. Got to reacquaint myself with Zoom. Hi, I'm Alyssa. And I'm trying to think, like, I feel like the Lord has taught me a lot during this time, but I think just that He's solid when everything else isn't. Something that I feel like I knew intellectually, but just to like walk on the solid ground and to trust Him as the rock. I mean, that sounds kind of silly, but that's what's coming to mind right now. So yeah, I'm grateful for that.
That's really good. Okay, who's next to Alyssa? I can't see.
Miriam.
Miriam. Hi, Miriam.
Hi. That's Miriam. I have learned a lot through this season, just knowing that being still is okay. I'm a busybody, and I love making myself busy all the time, and I think I've just learned that being still is okay. And I think my words these past 5 or 6 months has just been patience. I've just heard the Lord just continue to say just patience, and I've just heard him say just trust. And I think that just being slow enough to be able to hear those words has been great for me. So I'm still working on that.
Yeah, it's really good. He's trustworthy. Okay, who's next? Hello, Susan.
Allison.
Hi, Allison. If you don't want to go, too, I feel like I don't want to put you on the spot. But all right, what have you learned about God?
I'm Allison. I have learned also patience, or I may be in the middle of learning it. with my family and my children, and even just people that maybe I don't see eye to eye with during this all of this craziness, and just love to love others. I have two friends here, too.
Introduce yourself. Yay. We're so glad you guys are doing this. It's the coolest thing ever. It's what we hoped for. We've been, when we were talking about this years ago. So
yeah. Hi, I'm Erica, Tony, and I have two kiddos. I think God definitely has taught me a lot. Still teaching me for sure. I think the biggest lesson is to slow down. And then just that I could continue to not find my identity in my busyness or my accomplishments. I kind of stripped all that away. I run a summer camp company, and I work for the schools, so everything kind of stopped for me. And I think God's just continually teaching me that my identity needs to be in him.
Wow. That's huge. Thank you for sharing.
Sure.
Hi, I'm Morgan. I have three kids. What God has taught me in this time has been a lot, but the thing that first came to mind when you asked was his faithfulness. Not being able to go to conventional church, he has been so good and so faithful to just meet me wherever I am, whether it's on a walk or it's doing the dishes or serving my family. And it's felt more than just like prayer time with him. It's felt like we've walked together. And it's been beautiful to have that intimate relationship and not find it at a conventional church. It's been something I've never done in my life. So that's
what's huge.
That's my
thank you, girls. So glad you're here. Okay, who's next?
Ann Silva.
Ann.
Hi, I'm Ann Silva. And I think most recently, you know, we all have our verses that we love in like Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious. But it's fun to kind of go back a verse or two from those favorite verses. And I came across Philippians 4:5, let your reasonableness be known to all, for the Lord is near. And it really hit me because, you know, as you watch the news or the world, it just seems so unreasonable. And oftentimes the way I talk to my kids, I'm not characterized by reasonable. So I was really like, seriously. And so I'm like, am I communicating reasonably with my words, but really more so with my tone? And so, you know what, people aren't going to respect you if you're just yelling at them all the time. So I think that is what is kind of hitting me most reasonably. Are you being reasonable? And because when you're reasonable, you can convey Christ's love much easier.
So good. Thank you, Ann. Okay, Elizabeth.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm having trouble seeing.
Nobody can see. Nice
Diane.
Diane. We're glad you're here. Do you feel like sharing?
Here she comes. There she is.
I'm Diane Shadwick, and I think I'm probably the farthest from you because I'm in Kansas City.
Diane, but
the closest in heart. You have a daughter. I have three grown children, and I have a daughter in Dallas who's a physical therapist, and then I have two in Oklahoma City in dental school. And my husband and I are here. He's an attorney, and so we're living the empty nest life. And we actually have a little couple and their dog living with us right now, which is really fun. And I think the thing, gosh, I can echo a lot of things, like Morgan shared about just God's faithfulness during this time and how near and dear he has been. And I think that we have seen that over and over again. You know, it's just been such an interesting journey, but we have never failed to see his faithfulness. And it's been so good, and I've been grateful for that. So it's fun to see all your faces, and I know some of you from afar. But anyway, thanks for letting me jump in over the Zoom call. It's fun.
Thanks for coming.
Hillary Baker is next.
Hillary.
Hillary Baker.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Hillary.
Hi, thanks for having us, and thanks for doing this, Kate.
It's so glad you're here.
I have four friends here with me, and Miriam, come join us. I spied you. So anyway, I'm excited to do this, and it's just a joy to have people in my house and kids in school. And anyway, my one thing that I've learned, I think the most is thankfulness. And so I've been thankful for things that I haven't been in the past. So that's my one big takeaway through this crazy COVID. The laptop around to my friends.
It's like Phil Donahue.
Yeah.
Y'all remember Phil Donahue?
Yeah. Yes.
Anyone?
Yeah. <young. laughs> My name's Amanda, and I have two kiddos. Second grader and a sixth grader. And the thing that the Lord has been teaching me during this time is just delighting in him and just enjoying his presence and what a joy it is to just spend time with him and be with him. So that's been my time during COVID.
Wow. Thank you. So beautiful.
Hi, I am Amanda as well. And I have two kids, a third grader and a three-year-old. And I think I've learned that I am not in control of anything, really. And I think I've also learned that we're more resilient than I kind of gave us credit for. My children, my family, just we're more adaptable with when things are thrown kind of that you're not expecting. And I think that that obviously only comes from the Lord. Giving us that ability to adapt to different situations. So that's what I've learned, and I'm thankful to be doing this.
Thank you. So good.
Excellent. Shirley, you're next.
Wait, no, there's two more.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Hillary. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Oh, wait. It goes this way. Is this getting you?
Is that getting Becky?
Okay. Yeah, there we go.
Hi, I'm Becky Haas, and I have three boys, 10, 8, and 5. First day they're all at school, and I think the Lord is just probably just constantly reminding me that he's the only constant in this ever-changing world that we're in, and that he really is the only way to have peace. And so he's just grown me in a lot, and my patience over this time, and just really reassured me that he's in control. He's the constant that never changes.
Yeah, so. That's so good. Thank you.
You see me?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Allison Blessing. I have four boys, and I don't know. I've learned a lot over this time, but I would say one of the biggest things is just my dependence on him. It's easy for me to make my own schedule, you know, do things my way, make my to-do list, get my things done, and just take things in control the way I want to do them. And
just not depend on him for my day and ask him, hey, what do you have for me today? And just, you know, we've had no schedule this summer with my boys, and it's been so fun. And so, yeah, that's probably just trusting him and his ways.
Really good.
All right, thank y'all.
Thanks, girls.
Shirley, you're next. Shirley, you're next.
Hi, I'm Shirley Meacham, and I have four children. Most of them are out of the house, but I still have a high schooler. I think that God has, I guess I have been looking for the blessings, or remembering to look for the blessings that are happening even in bad times. And so sometimes I found in my life, and certainly during this time, that God can make changes in your life that you just don't even believe are possible. So I work, and I work part-time, and I have clients that I normally went to their house. And of course, during COVID, I couldn't go to their house. And usually this work I kind of don't like doing in the summer because my kids are home from school. And so this summer I got to work from home and just remote connected to my clients. And so that was such a blessing to get to be home all summer with them. So sometimes God can do things that you can't even imagine that he can do, and the changes are so good. So.
Like that with this, we would never have imagined this, and it's so cool. So thank you. Okay, who's next?
Dina.
Hi, Dina.
Hello, good morning. I'm Dina Steele. I have two children, a son that's 24 and doesn't live with me anymore, and a daughter that's 20. She's in college and working, so she has decided to stay home this semester and do part-time college virtually. She goes to school in New York City. So I'm glad she's here with me and working. And then I also have a goddaughter that's 24, and she's working virtually here from my house too. So it's kind of like a girl's dorm. It's kind of fun. And I, you know, three things that I've come away with at this time is, first of all, just creativity. I've just loved how God has given us, and I've seen in other people, just how we've learn to be really creative at how we've negotiated and navigated this time, and also being more intentional about how we've maintained relationships and had to go about just doing life with just a little bit more intention. And the last thing is just, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I just thought, you know, sometimes you read the Bible and you think, this is so outlandish, especially Old Testament stuff. You're like, wow, this is not really relatable, but you know what? It is so timeless, and it is so real. And what we're living through, you know, it's got a lot of biblical proportion to it. So it just, that's reminded me of just God's word is living, and it's timeless, and it marches on. Yeah. So thank you for doing this. I'm glad to be part.
It's a good word. Thank you.
All right, Lori Pinto. I think she's in her car.
Lori, are you in your car?
You're in your car.
Okay. Can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I didn't know how to unmute it from the car. Lori Pinto, I have two kids. We just sent off our oldest to go to Baylor and play tennis for them. So that was quite an exciting and new change for us. But I think the biggest thing that I've learned is just slowing down and appreciating what God gave us, without having to be as busy as I'm in my car, but just really being able to slow down and appreciate the people we love.
That's really good. Thank you, Lori. Glad you're here.
Awesome.
Thank Amy you.
Amy Hodak, you're next.
Hello. I am Amy Hodak. I have two kiddos, one in college and one in high school, and a husband that used to travel full-time to New York every single week. I mean, and he's just traveled his entire working career. We've been married for 25 years, and the just blessing of He's at home. He's kind of home indefinitely. So that's been a major shift and change, but blessing for us. But I think the Lord has really taught me just compassion during this time. It is so confusing and so difficult to make sense of a lot of the mess, but there's just so much hurt that has been, feels like more exposed than ever. And we don't know what's behind that hurt a lot of times, and the way that the behavior that follows that hurt. But it just feels like grace and compassion has come to the front of my mind for in so many circumstances, masks, whatever. I mean, just all of it. It feels like maybe that might not have been my initial response in many cases, but now it feels like that's the way that the Lord extends grace to us. And while we don't deserve it, I feel like it's worthy of extending to others.
That's a good word.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Wow.
All right. It looks like Becky, you're next.
Hi, I'm Becky Sherwood, and I'm here today with my mother-in-law, Kathy.
Hi.
Second. And I have baby Ella. I am babysitting every Tuesday for my friend's daughter, and she's 6 months old. So just for a month, so I'll be back in person after this month. And I have two boys, a junior in high school and an eighth grader. And eighth grader's back, and the junior goes back tomorrow. They're every other day. And what God has taught me during this time is the blessing in obedience. It's been just so many examples of that, and it's been really fun. And also how to wait for his next steps, which by his grace I waited, but I did not wait pretty. And so now I'm learning the blessing of waiting, because whatever his next step plan is actually way better than what I could force myself. So I'm learning to wait patiently and graciously.
Really
okay.
Good.
Hi, I'm Kathy Brauch, and Becky is my wonderful daughter-in-law. And I live in Sherman, Texas. And just came down for the day and spend the night with my son and daughter-in-law. I think not during the whole COVID, but most in the last couple of months, what God has helped me with is to learn to relax. I retired from my job July 31st, but I had worked at home for about 10 years in human resources. Very, very stressful job. And I just wondered if I could ever be able to relax, because I'm a very, you know, stressed person. And since July 31st and praying and learning the Word of God, He has helped me, and I'm totally relaxed. So this is a big one for me.
Wow. Yeah, that's good. Thank you for sharing. We're so glad you're here. Thanks for joining us. Anytime, even from Sherman, feel free to join.
Thank you.
All right, Tiffany. I don't know if she's, there's no video.
But okay. She's coming.
There we go.
Good morning. I'm at work, so.
I love it.
And my boss is actually on here with me, so it's a good guy.
Oh my gosh.
I'm Tiffany. I have two kids. I have one at home, one in college. In Arkansas. She will be done in December. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah.
The thing that God has taught me during this time was a lot, but the thing that He taught me the most was patience and just resting in the finished work of His Son, Jesus. And that's basically what He told the Israelites to do. He was like, stand still and know that I am God. And that's what He's asking you to do now. Rest. Because it is a finished work. And so it's just patience, just walking through the manifestation of the finished work. Yeah. So it's just, you know, the summer series that we did, it was just so amazing, learned so much. And I just thank Kay and Candy for, you know, just for doing that, because I learned a lot during that season.
Thank you, Tiffany.
All right, Jennifer, you're next.
Hi. Sorry, you might have a lot of background noise. I have all my munchkins right here next to me. But I'm Jennifer Kingsrider. I have four kids. They're 8, 6, 4, and 2. I just joined Covenant. I know there's a bunch of Covenant moms, and this is my first time to join the Bible study. But I am just so excited. But what I've been thinking is, I can so much of what y'all have said, I feel like I've experienced as well. But I think for me, stillness has been a big part of it, and just trying to really accept a new normal and just be more present with my babies and, you know, embrace the role of mothering and stillness well. And then I think the other thing for me has really been trust. So much of it is, you know, letting your kids go back to school when you've been, you know, at home trying to protect them, and then knowing that God is in control and that you just have to trust him. And I think that that is something that I will, you know, struggle with and walk with, where I think being a parent, that's what it is knowing that God has a bigger plan and that you can trust him. And so that is a practice that I try to hold on to every day. So that's been the biggest thing for me. So thank you for letting me join.
Thanks for coming. And we're laughing at stillness with a 6, 4, and 2.
Yeah.
And the stillness, you need it even when it's 24, 22. Anyway.
All right, Casey, you're next.
Okay, I'm hoping it's not, I'm out walking, so I'm hoping you can, it's not too windy. But my mind is like so jumbled because everything, I'm like, yes, 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 yes. But I would say, looking back, thinking about the very beginning of quarantine especially, was so painful for my very extroverted soul, and just painful. And I can't even, I mean, I'm sure other people can get it, but I can't describe it. And just seeing, just watching God comfort me and change me and be there for me during that time and just be what I needed and soothe my soul during that time was just kind of a miracle, honestly, because the first 2 weeks, I was like, how am I going to survive this? But I would also just echo, I think, what Amy, one of the Amys, was saying earlier. I wouldn't have thought of this. I mean, I'd noticed this, but just the way God can bring good out of anything, good out of this. I'm talking to a friend last night, and he has been at a job for over 20 years where he travels, you know, 200 plus days a year. And he never saw a way out of that. And now he's like, I'll never go back to that. And just looking at the difference in his demeanor and his life and his family and just everything about that, just looking at all the blessings and all the good that came out of this that would typically be considered just terrible. So I'm so excited to be back.
Thank you, Casey.
Thanks, Casey. All right, Melinda, you're next. Melinda.
Hi. Sorry, I'm at work with Tiffany, so I'm not going to turn on my video.
You're great. We're so glad you're here.
Thanks for letting me be here. I've enjoyed the few that I've been able to participate in. I think when COVID first hit, it was such a shock to my system because I am a very busy person. I don't have children of my own. I do have some in heaven. But we've taken in family members, and I feel that God gave us our home. We call it the healing house because we've been able to take in different family members over the years. And so it was very interesting for all of us to be there, you know, because I'm always working, my husband's working, they're working, but it was really so beautiful to be able to all be there together. And then I think what I realized was that God was doing something new in our lives, but in everyone's lives, and that there are so many hurting people out there. You know, we have really allowed ourselves, I think, as the church, to become more insulated and draw near to each other. But we see now what's happening in society, and it's been a huge shock to me, honestly. and I feel that I'm pretty connected. I'm in the public eye. I'm involved with different charities, and I get out as much as possible. But even me, I just did not see any of this unrest coming. And so it's given me an opportunity to really stop and dig into different viewpoints and talk to people. And the one thing that I keep realizing is how crucial all of us are, that we are salt and light. And if we are not getting outside of ourselves, you know, we weren't called to just be believers, we're called to be disciples. And so if we're not getting out and making disciples and challenging the thoughts that people have about the church and about Christ, if we're not actively engaging with these people, then we're just basically handing them over to Satan. And I just have such a burden on my heart for people now, even more so than I did before. So there's been a lot of beauty, but a lot of revelation, I guess, in this time for me.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing and for coming.
Thank you.
Okay, is it Tony or Tina? Tony? Yes. I'm sorry, I just can't read it from here.
Hi, I'm Tana.
Tana, thank you. I'm sorry, Tana.
Thank you, Candy. Thank you, Kate, for having me. And I thank all of you ladies for just reassuring me that I am in the right place. I don't have a lot to add. I think everybody has really, really shared from their hearts. That's the thing that I appreciate the most. I truly believe that the Lord is teaching us the blessed reassurance that the change is always good if we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. So that's what I'm here to do, and I am here to spend this time with you, and I'm very grateful to be a part of it. So thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tona.
Thanks for coming. Okay, so Zoomers.
Great
job. I'm going to see if at some point I can figure out, how to put it on this TV. So I'm going to try. Cool. I think I can do that. Katie? Should I try airplane now?
I am Katie McBrayer, and I think there's so much fear out there and uncertainty. Peace has kind of been my blessing from God, just in all of that. It's just going back to Him and resting in the peace that He is in control of all of it.
Yeah, that peace, the shalom peace that God is in control in the midst of fear and anxiety.
Yeah.
That's a good word. Okay, Stacy Burke. Okay, yell it out so our Zoom friends can hear.
Hi, Stacy Burke. Glad to be here.
Glad you're here.
I guess we said kids.
Whatever you want to say.
Okay.
Just like, what has God taught you during
God's
COVID?
God taught us.
You can say about your kids too, though. Don't
I
let me zip you.
Well, okay. One big blessing, y'all, during this time was our second has been in boarding school for high school up in Massachusetts. And he came home his senior year for spring break and never went back. Now, that was really sad and hard for him. He missed his varsity baseball season.
Oh.
And boarding school kids don't get to hang out, you know, when they're not there. So people never see them. Anyway, that was really hard for him. But we got this sweet 6 months with him that we haven't had in so long.
Mm-hmm.
And it was restorative.
Wow.
We had a tumultuous relationship with this one since he was out. It's been a long road. But he's darling, and he's maturing, and the Lord is stirring his heart. We will keep him on our prayers. He is completely not anything. He clearly says he doesn't believe what we believe. And so, well, that's okay, because God knows you. And he'll wait for you, and we're here to talk about him. Anyway, he's at Arkansas now and doing well and so happy. So anyway, that was a blessing from this COVID time.
Oh, that is a blessing.
Yeah.
That's great.
And our oldest, who was at college, is now back. He did SMB in graduate school. So that's kind of fun, getting him back in town.
That is great. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Okay, Chrissy.
Okay, I have three kids. One's out working and one is back home.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you, because master's
really you do?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, they
yes.
Don't remember each other.
And because I have a daughter who's a junior in college. And the thing that I feel like the Lord has just taught me all summer, and I just kept coming back to it, is just a steadfast love.
Yeah. Steadfast love. We kept reading that this summer over and over. Steadfast love, steadfast love. That's so good, Chrissy. Yeah. So good. Natalie.
Hi, I'm Natalie Jones. I have five, and they just all left the house. So actually, one left last year, but he came back. My daughter came back when he was gone. So it was like, we got an extra year. People at home. But what I learned this year, or what I feel like I'm seeing, is because I feel like God can totally get rid of coronavirus and any, you know, he can just, you know, anytime. But I just feel like how quickly all of our idols can be just knocked down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sports.
Yeah.
You know, even education.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That we had on a kind of a pedestal. Well, you know, when we put that above God, in a sense, and just the economy, or just money. I mean, money is just paper to God.
Yeah.
But the heart of, and I thought, well, actually, I wrote her name down, Melinda, so I thought, said it right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the heart of our purpose here on earth. Mm-hmm. To have that relationship with God.
Yeah.
And for others to know it. And I thought that, you know, he called it all down to this and is hoping that everybody will turn to him.
That tender mercy of releasing us of idols.
Yeah.
Really.
We don't even see.
I know, but that's tender mercy.
Yeah.
You know, because
exactly.
We don't even know. It's really sweet. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Nellie. Julie?
I'm so happy to be here. So happy to see everyone. And I have a 22-year-old son and a 16-year-old son. And the 22-year-old is getting ready to go to St. Bart's to work. He's taking time off college. So,
nice place.
Yes, yes, it is a nice place. I wish he was doing college, but he's doing his own way. I think something I felt so much during the last 6 months is his presence.
Mm-hmm.
Just how constant he is and that he doesn't change even when everything else changes.
Gosh, so
good. So grateful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. The constancy of his presence. Yeah, so good. Lorna.
Hey, Laura Nalamaro. And it's been such a sweet time in just, I feel like the Lord is teaching me to live with an open hand, and not only to be able to do that, but enjoy it and rest in it. That He has today, and He has tomorrow. He has this nation, this world. It's just so comforting, and I feel like He's enabled that just by reminding me of His trustworthiness. And that song, Waymaker, has been such a blessing to me. And just, you know, even when we can't see what He's doing or feel Him, He is at work and He is trustworthy. And being able to, you know, live that way with people around us that are hurting and kids' lives that don't make sense or whatever, you know, we're struggling with, and just trusting anyway. And it's just been such a blessing to be okay not knowing.
Yep.
So what
good.
The day hold,
because
he has it.
I
love that.
So good. I mean, seriously. I mean, who would have known what a pleasure this morning would be as we get to bask in all these great things. Thank you, Larnell. So good. Darian?
I'm Darian Riker, and I have four sons. I have one that's working, and then I have three seniors. You can figure that out.
Oh, wow.
So I have a senior in high school.
So cool. I love that.
I know, yes. I have a senior in high school. I have a senior at A&M. And then I have a son transferred from the school to A&M. So he has a little bit of extra time. So he's a senior, too. And I think the hard thing for me, and then we also have a small business. So one of the hard things for me during this time has been that I don't know. How many times do we How many times do you find yourself saying, I don't know?
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. And so that's been hard for me. I'm a planner, especially with, you know, where is everybody going to land at the end of this year with 3 seniors? So, and with the business. But he knows. So, yeah, yeah. And I love, I was telling Lori when we were walking in, so glad to be doing this Bible study and be back. It really makes the feng shui of my week.
Yeah.
To be, have this, yeah. Be preparing or come and then be thinking about it. And yeah. I think it's really interesting that we're doing the gospel, the good news. When we have so much bad news, we're doing good news, and that's the problem. That's what everybody needs is good news. And we're doing a different book at church right now, gospel. So I think it's interesting that we've like, gospel coming.
I love that. At Watermark, they're doing Judges and Ruth, and I texted one of the gals that's leading that because I was like, what a great thing to be studying right now, because that was the time in the nation of Israel when the Lord was king, like outward was their king, I'm the king of Israel, which of course never changed, but they asked for an earthly king, so he gave them one. But I just thought, what a great thing to marinate in the lordship and kingship of God right now, because he's king over all this stuff, and the complete restoration in the eye, because even in Isaiah, we spent a lot of time in Isaiah this summer. And when Jesus spoke, and you know, his first time he spoke in the synagogue, he said, you know, this that he had read from Isaiah 61, he said, this has come true. Like what the prophecy, it's just come true. It gives me chills because it's like, do we live it? And so, yeah, to sit there and bask in the goodness of the gospel, what could be better? What could be better? So how fun to do it together. Super, super fun. So, Lord, I'm with you. I wanted it back, too. I didn't know that I needed this back so badly. We shouldn't quit. It says in Scripture you should not quit. So maybe we just won't. All right, so, Lori.
Lori Powell, and I have 3 kiddos, 2 in college now, and 1 that's a junior at the high school. And, I mean, I could echo probably everything that's been said, but I think really what God had revealed early on was just the idols that I probably had that was putting my focus on, whether it was work, had a small business as well. So does my husband. So, you know, drastic changes when everything hit, drastic changes. And my kids and just the planning that I always had a plan, I always had a schedule and control over things. And I think, and sports, you know, my son was a senior and, you know, all that was just taken away. So it just really helped reset, but that trickled down a lot to, I think, her family. And ironically, my husband and I had just started re-engage when COVID was hitting. So we, you know, didn't get to meet in person, but it was just such a sweet time of just resetting everything for the whole family. So just
reset. I love that. Reset. Really good. Thanks for coming. Judy?
Yes. My name is Judy Carew. I'm a new grandmother.
Happy birthday, grandmother!
I have 5 kids. Most of them are grown. My youngest is 19, so at home, but and, you know, the Lord, like most people, the Lord has really just cleaned my plate. Most of my involvement has been with people and mostly internationals, and Lord through Trump has taken them. A lot of them have either gone back or moved away because they've graduated. So just really waiting excitedly for next steps and see what the Lord has for me. It's been great because my oldest, who lives in the Middle East, has been home for a while, and for about 6 weeks, and she is going to a new assignment, which is very exciting. It's been exciting to see how the Lord has worked things out for her here, and just kind of last minute things, people jumping in. So it'd be great. She's going to a chaotic place, but I'm very confident that God has a plan for her, and it's working out really well. So that's exciting.
It's such a beautiful heart.
It's been great to spend a lot of time with her because she has been at the house. But I think what I have I have actually been pretty busy, even though, like, I took an entrepreneurship class, and I just did a lot of things on Zoom. And before Zoom, I wouldn't even do FaceTime with my kids. I don't like to see myself, and so, yeah, so I'm getting better at that. But, you know, something, and so I've had a little calm. I've loved just hanging out. COVID has been not difficult for me, surprisingly, because I'm a people person. But one thing that I just am so excited to see is I think the Lord is doing some great work, a lot of undercover stuff that we don't even really know. I feel like more people have been in church, you know, since we've closed, that, you know, people are hopping online on Zoom, you know, doing, or hopping online watching church and really getting into the Word and doing Bible studies. And I think there's just a lot of movement, I think, even outside of our country, but definitely within our country. And I'm excited to kind of see 10 years later just what COVID was really all about, because I think, you know, it's not a surprise to the Lord. And so I think, it'll be exciting.
That is great. I do think there's a lot of stuff that we don't see. Because, of course, it's his business. It's his business. It's one of the verses that I love that I lingered on this summer is from Amos. You know, it's from Joel 2, where he says that I will restore the year of the locust, the hopper, the cutter, and the destroyer, which are the ones that come in and they eat, and then another wave comes and they eat more, and then the last wave comes in and clears all of it out. And he says that he is restoring the years of the locust, and he says, my army that I sent. Mm-hmm. And it's that safety. There's not, he has purpose, which is what y'all been saying. He has purpose. He's in control. He's taking our idols away. It's so tender and kind, even though in the harshness of it, seeing the good, you know, mm-hmm. of the good stuff that's going on in the midst, and maybe taking down barriers that we didn't realize were as big of barriers as they are, because people matter. Yeah. Period. Yeah. Period. Yeah, so welcome to the love story of the Bible, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a love story from the beginning till the end. And so Candy's going to give an overview of what we're going to do. And girls on Zoom, I'm going to put this on the email that you will get. Did we introduce everybody on Zoom? Did we get everybody? Yes. Okay, if we didn't get you, will you yell, wave? Okay, so here's one small thing that the girls here can take with you. It's just a Bible overview, because we've thought in the past how nice it is just to briefly give a Bible overview. But we're going to let Candy give the Luke overview. And maybe I'll go over this next week, because it's simple, it's quick. And I think it's kind of nice to be able to see, like, what the Bible is just overall, because we forget that it is one story, and it's not chaotic. It's ordered. It's purposed. And it actually goes just like this all together, and it's sort of fun to look at. So I'll start next week's lesson with this so that you can look at it, and we can all go through it together. And so now Candy is going to give a brief overview of this great gospel of Luke.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that was so good. And did you notice, just through everybody sharing, all of the various character qualities, the nature of God came out so beautifully.
Elizabeth wrote it all down, and I'll take a picture of it.
Good. Yeah, it was just really wonderful, because there were themes definitely, but anyway, it was really wonderful. So welcome everybody. I wish I can't see one face on Zoom.
I could have figured out on TV.
Okay, it's going to be on TV next week. That'll be better. But welcome to everybody that's here. And so I'm just going to do a very brief overview of the Gospel of Luke and Luke himself, which we don't know a whole lot about. But the author of the third Gospel is also the author of Acts, and we studied Acts last year, and it was just wonderful. And so Kay and I thought it would be very cool to look at him in what is book one of two books. So actually, Luke is considered one bookend, and then Acts the second of the two books that Luke wrote. And he wrote more of the New Testament than anybody else. He wrote 52 chapters
in the New Testament, and he is the only Gentile author in the New Testament, and I thought that was interesting. But throughout, we're going to get to look at the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And then in Acts, he took us to the ongoing work of Jesus in and through the person of the Holy Spirit as he built the church and spread the church throughout the world. And so it's just one continuous story, Luke through Acts. And so if you have time, if anybody wasn't with us as we did the study of Acts, you might want to just read through Acts as well. Just, it is a good idea always just to take a straight read through the book that we're studying. So I would say read through the Gospel of Luke this week, and then I think your study will actually have you do that. Kay's going to do lesson one next week, right? And you might want to read through Acts as well. Fascinating, beautiful story. So Luke was a physician by trade, and he traveled with, was a companion to, and a disciple of the Apostle Paul. He didn't evidently have face-to-face with Jesus, but he was probably converted through the ministry of one of the apostles. In both the Gospel and Acts, Luke has declared that his purpose in writing is to give an orderly account of Jesus' life and ministry and of the early church. And so as a physician, Luke is going to be precise, and he's very precise, and that's why he says the orderly account. Some scholars say that even the word in the Greek for orderly is a word that can also be used for autopsy, and I thought that was interesting as a physician. So he's doing something that's extremely precise, but he wants his narrative to be a sequence, chronologically, geographically, logically, as he develops his gospel. He says in Luke 1:3 that he has himself carefully investigated everything from the beginning, and I love that. That was in Luke chapter 1, verse 3, I think I said that. Both the Gospel and Acts are addressed to Theophilus, who people do not know who he is. He was, that's a Greek name. He may have been a benefactor of Luke so that he could travel with the Apostle Paul. But he wrote to Theophilus both the Gospel of Luke and then again Acts. And that name means lover of God. And so I loved it. That one of the sources that I read said that Luke is really addressed to all the lovers of God. And so everyone in this room and everyone on the Zoom call, that's us. And so Luke is a Gentile Christian. And so his gospel is really to this broader audience of Gentiles primarily. And the third gospel contains many beautiful and essential teachings of Jesus. There are pictures of the gospel message that only appear in Luke's gospel, and I found this fascinating. I found so many things that I didn't know. For instance, the four canticles or songs that are in Luke 1 and 2 aren't in any of the other gospels. And then each of the four gospels were really directed to four different audiences. Matthew's emphasis is on Jesus as the king and his kingdom that he came to inaugurate. And so Matthew's audience was, he's targeting Jews primarily. And this, he is our Messiah, he is the king, and he's come to build his kingdom. Mark, or John Mark of Acts, who was the nephew of Barnabas, really seems to target the Jews that were in Rome who were being persecuted and who were suffering and probably separated from their Jewish brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. And so he wrote really to bring them comfort and assurance in this time as their faith is being tried. And he presents Jesus and his unfolding story as the Messiah, the Jewish audience. He is your Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the promised one. And he writes of Jesus' messianic mission and the work of his cross. John's gospel, as we know, is just so from the heart, because John always describes himself as the one whom Jesus loved. Mm-hmm. He was so secure in the love of God and his belovedness. And so he unveils Jesus in the flesh as the one who is this mystery that is being revealed. He is being, his appearance is coming forth. And there is mystery, as Kay will say, all through the scriptures. And this one who is promised in Genesis 3:15, is now, he is this mystery. and he is here among us. So John is writing primarily to unbelieving Jews, that he says at the very end in verse 20, that they might believe, and that by believing they might have life in this one, in Jesus Christ. And he's writing as well to Gentiles to draw them to this beautiful one, this one that he adores and that he knows is adored by him. He's addressing believers too, that all might rest in the same identity. And I think that when we did the study this summer, that to me was most precious to me, because that was something that I battled so much of my life, was just believing. I could believe that God loved everyone, but for me. And so it became just very, very personal, and I felt really beloved and settled and strong in that. But to see Jesus as this living expression of God, who is what John is making known, and as the light of the world, the Savior, the King, the Anointed One, our Shepherd, the Bread of Life, living water, resurrection and life, all of the I Ams that John writes. So if we look at the four Gospels collectively, they give us a magnificent portrait of Jesus and of the Father who sent his Son, and all that he would want us to know and experience because of his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. The Holy Spirit breathed into each author of the four Gospels the particular message, and the most in tune with these very distinct and different personalities and backgrounds of these four authors, and to present the person and work of Jesus in all of its many faceted hue and beauty, so that we have a magnificent portrait of Christ when we take all four Gospels together. Luke's emphasis is going to be on the heart, on the inner man, on the person, and the experience of our faith within, not simply outward external religion, which is what was all about in the day of Jesus. Brian Simmons, who's the translator of the Passion Translation, describes Luke's gospel as the loveliest book ever written, and I just love that. Possibly because Luke was a physician, it's been called the mercy gospel, and he was a man full of mercy and compassion. Luke breaks down all the barriers in his gospel: Jew and Gentile, male and female, rich and poor, and he presents Jesus as Savior to all who will believe and receive him. The compassion and the tender mercy of Jesus are on almost every page of this gospel and are highlighted in the account that Luke writes. I wanted to read just one little section from this introduction. This is from the Passion, that Brian Simmons notes. But he says, Luke, being a physician, learned the need to exhibit compassion and mercy toward others. It comes through in every chapter. Luke's gospel is perhaps the most compassionate and love-filled account of Jesus' life ever written. Luke shares Jesus' teachings on prayer, forgiveness, and our obligation to demonstrate mercy and grace in dealing with others. Luke provides us with rich details of Jesus' love of children and the forsaken. Luke writes more about Jesus' ministry to women than the other gospel authors. This was somewhat controversial in the culture of his day. In fact, I found this fascinating. I had not ever seen this. Luke uses an alternating narrative of one story about a man and the next story about a woman. Luke begins with the story of Zechariah, then he moves to Mary, a focus on Simeon, and then on Anna, the Roman centurion, and then the widow of Nain, the Good Samaritan, and then Mary and Martha. The pattern continues throughout the gospel. Did any of y'all know that?
No.
I never. But anyway, Luke is he's just breaking down all of these barriers that exist, and they still exist today, don't they? That we have all these barriers, and he's breaking it down with this gospel message. Only Luke contains the story of the prodigal son, the Good Samaritan, and the wedding banquet.
What, really?
Amazing. Yes, the only gospel account that contains those.
Can you repeat that? Luke alone contains the story of the prodigal son, the good Samaritan, and the wedding banquet. He alone writes of the shepherds at Bethlehem, the healing of the 10 lepers, the young man from Nain, who was the only son of a widow, and he had died, so she is now the lowest of the low on the rungs of society, and he raises him from the dead. He alone recounts the story of the thief on the cross next to Jesus, who said, "Would you remember me?" And Jesus said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." And that gives us the assurance that we find in Paul's writings of absent from the body and present with the Lord. The last mention of Luke in the New Testament is in 2 Timothy 4, where Paul says, "Only Luke is with me. He was faithful and loyal to the end." He was the one that accompanied Paul on his journey from Jerusalem to Rome, where Paul would be in prison until he was executed. And so evidently Luke was with him the entire time. This gospel and book of Acts are historical biographies. He most likely wrote the gospel in the early to the late 60s AD. It was obviously before the temple destruction, which was in 70 AD, because he mentions the temple in the present tense. And we're going to find as we study that Luke is gifted to write beautiful and powerful prose, just like we saw in Acts. The story is so important that he writes it beautifully. The major themes that we're going to discover as we work our way through Luke are the person and work of Jesus, the promised kingdom realm, both present and coming, so the already and the not yet, the women and the poor. Luke portrays women as crucial and central in Jesus' ministry and story, which is so interesting because he focuses in on those that are marginalized and really outcast in society. Jesus did, and Luke brings that forth. He wants us to know that because he writes of women before the birth, as he tells us of Elizabeth and then of Mary. And then post-resurrection, they were the first that Jesus appeared to. He writes a lot of children. About children, and children were disregarded, even by the disciples. If you remember, the disciples are trying to shoot them away, and Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." He gives great attention to the poor. So it's just a picture of Jesus' upside-down kingdom. He pays special attention to those that are discarded and cast away and not well thought of in society, who might be discounted by culture. His audience is primarily Gentile, as I said. Who were considered dogs by the Jews. They would be very horrified to know that this was not Messiah just for them, but he was the Savior of the world. Luke emphasizes the person and the work of the Holy Spirit more than any of the other authors of the Gospels. He's referenced at least 20 times in this Gospel. And as Brian Simmons says, the Holy Spirit is the architect, the maestro, guiding and energizing the events that transpire throughout the life of Jesus, including the startling statement in chapter 4 that it is the Holy Spirit who leads Jesus into the wilderness after his baptism to be tempted by Satan for 40 days. I remember the first time I read that and thinking, what? That, yes, it is Holy Spirit. It's the beginning, the inauguration of his ministry. In Luke 3:15-16, John the Baptist says, quote, "One mightier than he would come baptizing with the spirit of holiness and fire." And Jesus says, "He is the true baptizer." And as I was thinking and praying for all that would be participating in this study, I really think my hope and prayer boiled down to a nutshell is that as each one of us work through this book study, that Holy Spirit of fire would fall afresh on each one of us and would just ignite our heart, that we might burn with a new affection and love for Jesus and for his work in our lives, that he might give us hearts of love and worship for him, but that then would flow out of our lives as we meet others, and that we might be, as I think it was Melinda said, that we might be manifestations of the gospel to others, that we might manifest Jesus. And so I was praying yesterday, just from 1 Peter 1, 7. And so I'm just going to close with this, that he might just burn off any dross that he sees in any of our lives that, quote, the tested genuineness of our faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the coming of Jesus Christ. So I just pray, come, Lord Jesus. Your bride awaits, and we just say, come. And so I just want to bless each one of you and thank you for participating in this study. And it's going to be exciting to see what Holy Spirit does in each one of us. I know everyone here comes with a different heart. I mean, we shared a bit, but there's so much confusion. There's so much darkness out there. He is still the light of the world. And I just pray that this word might just become more precious to you, and that Luke's gospel will speak directly to your heart of this one that came for you and for me. So thank you for coming.
Amen.
Yeah, thanks everybody for coming. Thank you, Candy. Here, for the girls that are here, I have two prayer, if you would like to be prayed over. I'm sorry I didn't really put that around earlier, but they'll be somewhere. And girls, we'll see you next week. And we will set. I'll be good about sending the email. I promise. That your expectation bar level. Look.
If they have a prayer request on Zoom, how should we deal with that? Maybe
email? If you have a prayer request on Zoom, just email back to neighborhoodstudies@gmail.com. Okay, and we will get it in front of our prayer team.
And this is Lisa Holmgren's secret. If you've ever seen these. I want to get who puts them out. But this one is Luke.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one side. Okay. Is
can I show that
and
up here?
One is blank. And it's hold on, right? Because you can circle, highlight, whatever, and then write your notes.
I really like it.
They're $5. They're
$5. I didn't know you were the one that did that.
Okay, this is.
They sell them other places.
Where do they sell it at Logos?
Well, I got that one at PCPC.
Oh, at PCPC. They have it at the PCPC bookstore. But it's Luke. It's a book of Luke. And on like one page, it's the scripture. And on the other, it's like blank pages. If that's interesting to you. It's called Illuminated Scripture Journal. It's a Crossway. I think you could get it at Logos, at PCPC, or of course at, you know, Amazon. There's also there's another one that maybe Tyndale does that has room for scripture if you want to do that too. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, you guys.
Bye.
Bye. So we're going to turn the record off now. Was it recording?
Yeah.